This is The State of Things. I'm Anita Rao, in for Frank Stacio. Listening to audio is something we often do alone, whether it's in the car, on the way to or from work, or maybe through a set of earbuds during an evening run. But people in and around Durham now have a different kind of option for listening to audio stories. It's an event series called Audio Under the Stars, and it gives adults permission to partake in their own kind of story time. These events take place on summer evenings on the lawn of Duke Center for Documentary Studies, and the series is now in its fourth season. I'm joined in studio today by the co-founders of Audio Under the Stars, Elizabeth Friend and Jenny March. Welcome to The State of Things.
Hi.
Hi.
Thanks for being here. Elizabeth, tell us about how the idea for this event came about way back in 2014.
Well, this came out of a working group at the Center for Documentary Studies that Jenny started 2 years prior to that, in which audio students could get together and share stuff they're working on, get feedback, workshop pieces. And out of that, we came to realize that there was a really rich talent pool in our area that was making great audio that didn't necessarily have a landing point for that audio. There wasn't an obvious venue or way to share that with the community. So we decided that we might make one. And we did it pretty much on a whim, I would say. We decided to put together an evening of stories, host it in the backyard of a small art gallery, and invite the public. And we thought at the time we'd be lucky if it was like 12 of us sharing a bottle of wine. And we were stunned when 50 people showed up that first night. And since then, our audience has continued to grow. And now we regularly have 400 to 500 people every evening. So I think we've hit on something that people really love.
So this is now on the lawn of the Center for Documentary Studies. And obviously the name Audio Under the Stars paints a good image. But tell someone who's never been there, what does it look like? What does it feel to be in that space?
The space is a mixture of green lawn and a grove of maples that's strung with party lights. And if you were to show up there on a Friday evening, you might see a sea of picnic blankets because people like to get there early, set up shop, find their spot, and sprawl out and enjoy the evening. And then when the sun starts to go down, we start to play the audio. And it's really wonderful to watch the audience shift, where during that first story, they might be up and alert and really intent on listening to the story. But then by the second story, they start to relax and they slip almost under its spell. They lie back, they close their eyes, and really let the audio take them to different places.
So you all have listened to all of these pieces over and over again, thinking about how they sound, how you want the story of the evening to evolve. Tell me about the difference between that process and then seeing them heard by a live audience.
Elizabeth and I have found over the years that we will listen to stories by ourselves in our homes, and they'll have a certain emotional register when we listen alone. And when we play them back, we find that the stories have a very different emotional register when you listen to them in a group. So stories that are sad or a little bit hard to hear feel almost heavier in a way when you're listening to them in a big group of people. And by the same token, the funny stories seem to hit a much, like, happier, more jubilant note when you hear them with other people. And so through the years, we have sort of developed an ear for curating with that in mind. How is this going to sound when a group of 400 people are listening to it together and experiencing it together?
And is it always what you think, or are there surprises?
There are definitely surprises. There have been pieces that we thought were so witty and clever that didn't rise to the occasion. And there have been ones that we thought maybe were too simple, but then you hear that one strong voice out amongst the crowd, and it really takes you away with it. So we have gotten better at predicting how it's going to hit, but we don't always know.
So I want to listen to a clip now of one of the stories produced for this series. This is from a woman named Sarah Gibson. Can you set this up for us, Jenny?
Sure, I'd love to. Sarah was part of the audio working group, and she had a lot of audio from a trip that she'd taken to Alaska, where she'd met a woman named Tammy, who, for the first time in her life, went out salmon fishing. And we loved the story. It was a bit longer than the version that we eventually played. And we thought it fit really well with the Danger Show, which was a show we did last year.
Wonderful. Let's take a listen.
We're all like in super close proximity to each other. And so you're seeing like the men on these other boats and people are flipping each other off. Guys are doing push-ups on their boat, but they're doing push-ups like at angles and in ways that everyone else can see them. Just as I would walk around, I could feel every single male, which was everyone, watch me as I walked this way, watch me as I walked this way. Stuff like that starts to make you feel like there's imminent threat all the time.
So that's a clip from an audio story produced by Sarah Gibson, and that story aired at Audio Under the Stars, which is a storytelling event that takes place on the front lawn of Duke Center for Documentary Studies in Durham. And I'm here with the co-founders of the event series, Jenny March and Elizabeth Friend. So we talked about how this was part of a particular theme. Tell me about the choice of those themes and how you pick a range of stories that are going to be funny and witty and also dark and interesting all around one single theme.
We really like to think about how thinking about finding a theme that's really broad that we can come at from a number of different angles. So for the we did a show last year on the theme of haunted, and we tried to think about, okay, what are the obvious stories there? So we collected ghost stories. We had stories about the psychical center at Duke, which ran in the 60s and the 70s. But we also thought about what are the ways in which people haunt themselves, things that are not going to come to mind when you hear the word haunted, the really kind of less obvious choices. And we really try within each show to give you an emotional range. So we're not going to go all sad. We're not going to go all happy. We kind of try to guide the audience along and think about all the different ways that we can explore the emotional register of a theme.
And so are these stories that already exist out there that have been produced, or are you finding people to produce the stories for your any given show?
I'd say both. We definitely see this as a way for producers to go through their back catalog, find their best stuff, even if it was from 10 years ago, and bring it to us, and we'll share it with a new audience. We also are really clear that we want to make stories for Audio Under the Stars, and those stories we want to have a particular local or regional component so that we're telling the stories of the community that we're situated in.
So there are people that are participating that haven't necessarily made audio before, and we actually have one of them here in our studio. Trish Tolbert is a local producer who has shared her story with Audio Under the Stars listeners and is here to talk about it. Welcome, Trish.
Hi, Anita. Thanks.
So you didn't necessarily have a background as an audio producer before this.
No, not at all. I came to this as a complete newbie.
What was that experience like?
Actually, it was wonderful because the Center for Documentary Studies and Jenny and Elizabeth are there with advice and guidance and skill building. It was super.
So you decided to do a story that was pretty intimate about your family. Tell us a bit about the premise of your piece.
Sure. This is about this piece, Simple Dreams, is about my aunt and uncle. And my uncle is a Vietnam veteran. But the piece itself is bigger than the war because their relationship is bigger than what happened to him during the war.
Okay, let's listen to a quick clip and then we'll talk some more.
I remember when I got hit, I had a hold of my fellow Marine. Little did I realize at the time that I got hit, he got hit again, and it blew out the side of his head. I just remember flying through the air. It's just like a 100 electrodes going through you. You're trying to do all these things, and you can't do it. And I hit the ground, and I was still conscious. I knew immediately that I was a paraplegic, you know, at that point. Now, I didn't know how severe it would be or anything like that.
That was a clip from Trish Tolbert's audio story, Simple Dreams, and that story aired at Audio Under the Stars earlier this year. And that is an event series organized by co-founders Jenny March and Elizabeth Friend at Duke Center for Documentary Studies. So when you all first heard Trisha's story, what stood out to you and why did you think it would be a good fit for this event series?
I was really taken with the voices, honestly. The voices of your family members stuck with me, and the way they bring such love to their tale. I thought it was really carefully crafted because high school sweethearts go to Vietnam is maybe a story we've heard before, but I think the way you showed what they made of their lives after this disaster really kept me listening.
There's a subtle intimacy, the way that Bobby and Sue talk to each other in the piece, and there's a lot that you learn about them, not from what they actually tell you, but how they talk to each other. The intimate pauses and just the feeling that you get. And I think that speaks to what makes audio such a powerful medium for storytelling, is because you really feel like you're in the room with them as they're telling you about their relationship.
Yeah, you guys have always stressed, reveal it. Don't just tell it, reveal it. And I felt like they did that in their interactions with each other.
So Trish, what was it like for you to hear the story in community with people for the first time at an event like this?
We actually heard the piece at our graduation from the certificate program, and that had lots of family and friends packed in the room, so very supportive. It was a little more anxiety-provoking to hear it at Audio Under the Stars, because you're listening for things you hope will happen, but you have to let go of the outcome in the end.
Were there any moments that really surprised you?
I think I was surprised that we got as many laughs as we did in as many places.
Because yeah. it's a serious story.
It is a serious story, but the first part of it brings you into the humor of their relationship.
Let's listen to another quick clip to hear a little bit more of their story.
I think anybody that sees them or thinks about them once they're gone, here we go, I think that they'll see two of the strongest, most loving, most generous, most humble people. Individually, they're that way, but I think that their legacy will be too how they were a team.
What do I fear most?
That I'll be left here in this world without her. That's my greatest fear.
No, we're going together. Tanya's already requested that.
But let me remind you now, if you're ready and I'm not, you're going to have to wait.
That was a clip from Trish Tolbert's audio story, Simple Dreams, and that story aired at Audio Under the Stars. And I'm speaking with the co-founders of that event series, Jenny March and Elizabeth Friend, also here with Trish, the producer of that story. So Jenny and Elizabeth, you all work with individuals in the process of crafting these stories. Tell me a bit about that process, Jenny, because it doesn't come naturally to everyone to know how to make a good audio story.
Yeah. Well, we usually find someone who's got an idea for a story, or they've already collected a lot of tape and they don't quite know what to do with it. So one of the first things we do is sit down and listen to whatever version they already have and say, okay, how can we take the audio that you've created and distill that even further to really get at the heart of what that story is? And draw out the characters or draw out the tension or the stakes in the story. What listeners are looking for are characters they can relate to, stakes that, you know, make you invested as a listener. What's going to happen? What's going to happen next? Something that you can follow along with. So we really try to work with them to elicit that storytelling. And then at the sort of last step, we work with them on sound design, putting music in where it might be needed, or other elements that kind of bring you into the moment of that story.
How do you find a good ending?
That is a great question.
Sometimes that's the hardest part of editing. That's true. Figuring out what that final thought you want to leave the audience with can be really tough. I think Trish nailed it with a great ending for her piece. Sometimes it's a smooth process and sometimes it's really hard.
I will say sometimes the ending is really obvious to you when you listen. And one of the things that we often did in the working group was sort of decide together what we thought the ending was. Because a lot of times there's a natural sense of when a story is over, and getting the consensus around that can be a really great way to feel like, yes, I've found my ending.
So you all started this event series in the midst of what many call or are still calling up a podcast revolution. How do you see this event series as part of that, or is this something entirely different? Is it not being a podcast, it being a live audio event?
Well, I think we benefit from having an audience who is engaged with podcasting and with audio storytelling and enjoy that in different formats. That said, we are not a podcast, and we've talked at great length about how we probably won't ever be one, in part because we don't have the bandwidth to produce that on a regular basis, but also because we think really strongly that this is a live event and that part of the magic is being there and sharing stories with the audience. I mean, we work really hard to pick out the best stories that we can, but ultimately I think the magic of these events is that our audience shows up with such curiosity and compassion and empathy and are really willing to go on this journey with us. And I don't think you could get that if we put it in a podcast.
I agree. As a participant, I think people are, a certain segment of the audience is really starved for community, and that's what you get. And just as all the predictions about movie film houses going away proved wrong, because there's something magical, as you said, about enjoying that with other people. The same is true in Audio Under the Stars.
That's so interesting to me, because I do think of listening as a solitary experience. The intimacy I find is with the hosts or the voices I'm listening to. But I've been to one of the events, and it was a very different experience to have both the intimacy with the voice and with the people around me. Is that something you hear a lot from
people who come.
Yeah, people have described it as making yourself vulnerable to listen in a group in a way, which I think is really powerful.
It's an entirely different kind of listening, I guess.
I mean, when we curate for these shows, we listen to the stories multiple times. And Elizabeth and I have both found that when we play it back at Audio Under the Stars, we hear things in these stories for the first time. And I think that speaks to how you pay attention differently when you're listening with other people around.
So that you all recently got a grant to continue your work. Tell me about that and plans moving forward.
Well, what we really want to do is kind of be an incubator for local and regional storytelling. I think that what this grant will help us do is connect producers of varying skill levels with stories in Durham, in North Carolina, in the South as a whole, that we can then share at Audio Under the Stars. And so, you know, sometimes we have talented, experienced producers and they want to participate but don't have a story, and we can talk to other community groups and pair them with a story. And that's been a fruitful collaboration in the past. Other times people come to us and they want to tell their story and they want some help with that. And so we're hoping that this grant will allow us to build up a roster of producers at varying skill levels who can really help us build a network of stories to share.
Jenny, what should we be looking forward to for the next upcoming Audio Under the Stars event?
Our theme is deception, and we are still in the process of curating for it, but we've got a lineup so far of stories about people pretending to be people they're not and some con stories. And I think it'll be a fun show with some high stakes, but nothing too traumatic to listen to.
That's a rich theme there, deception. I like it. I've been joined by Elizabeth Friend and Jenny March. They are the co-founders of Audio Under the Stars, as well as Trish Tolbert. She is a producer of one of the stories that aired at an event earlier this season. Thanks so much to all of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So you can catch the next Audio Under the Stars on the front lawn of the Center for Documentary Studies at Duke University in Durham on Friday, July 28th. And you can find out more details about that show and the event series at our website, stateofthings.org.